Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
It's in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Brother Jerome, Brent, welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Pretty sure you must be outside, man.
I am, sir.
Have the crew outdoors.
So y'all missed what Josh tried to show us in a few minutes ago. On the beat.
Hey, so guys, how everybody doing? How everybody doing?
Good, up, Jay.
How you doing, Jay? How you doing, bro?
I'm home. How you
doing, man? We're excited about the lesson, man, so we ain't going to play around with it. I'm gonna kick it over to Brother George and sit back and enjoy this ride.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. I saw this subject, I was looking at the daily bread, you know, and just looking at the subject itself, and it said in perfect plans, but then also on the other cap that I also thought about God's plan, you know, and it's so awesome tonight, you know, Todd, how you were talking about every step of the way and how it evolved and you know, we think about the plan that started out with just a subject, mm-hmm. And just started with a few men and look at has grown. And, mm-hmm. and because of the love we have for one another as men, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more as we go, but let me go on to the scriptures. I got about three scriptures that I'm going to touch on tonight for this subject and this topic. But the first one is Proverbs, and I'm talking about Proverbs 19 and 20. That's the first one, and it says this. It says, listen to advice and accept instructions, and in the end, you will be wise. Mm. You will be wise. And then also on that next verse, and then Proverbs 19 and 21 says this. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And then my favorite scripture on tonight that goes along with this lesson is Jeremiah 29:11. It says this, and this is so powerful. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. This is the Lord that's talking to us. Plans to prosper you, and in that next verse, not to harm you. God is never going to harm us, you know? And then the next one says, and which is so powerful, plans to give you a hope and a future. Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful. And this, and it almost lead when you were talking about every step of the way with the men, how small it started. We probably had plans, maybe with just a few guys just starting up. Yeah. Look at what God has done with that. And then, you know, I thought about, I have to put myself in it, because when I think about imperfect plans, I thought about all the plans that I made. You know, how many of us like started out like when we was in high school, you know, I had dreams of being a professional ball player. Mm-hmm. Of some kind. And I wanted to go to UCLA, but I can remember in my spirit, and I can remember this teacher telling me and trying to knock me off my dreams and my plans, was he was telling me, you got pipe dreams. You know, it's no way that you can ever think that you're going to go to UCLA and being from a city I was from. You know, he was just looking at the outer, you know, he was looking at the outer appearance, you know, but he wasn't looking at, you know, the young man that I was. And being a teacher, you're supposed to encourage people. Right. And then I had plans to do that, but I ended up wanting to be a professional ball player. But then here I am. Now I'm enlisted to the Army, plans are going to Army, and now my plans have changed because now I'm a professional soldier. So how many times have we started out one way and those plans got verted to something else? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And where I'm coming from, think, put yourself in it. The plans that you made and that you wanted to go one route, but it seems that those plans were along the way somewhere they got messed up. They got tripped up. And now I look fast forward to my life when I came into the military. And now I think about how when I was in the military, I had no idea that I was going to be in the ministry. I just wanted to be a professional soldier. Started out in the church, became an usher, was an usher in the church. You know, and then somebody looks at me and then prophesied to me that, hey, you look like a minister. You're going to be a minister. You know, and then me, I'm saying, no, I'm not doing that. I don't have plans to be no minister. I'm not doing that. You know, my plans was to just join the church and be an usher for the rest of my time at the church. I had no plans to be a minister, but then God began to work on me. Then he began to actually, I started seeing dreams of being in the pulpit and studying and preaching. And then, you know, and I said, I still didn't want to do it. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't have no plans to do that. I had plans to just be a professional soldier. That was going to be the end of it. I had no desire to do that. But look at God. Look what he did. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to really make you laugh. How many times have we heard this? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your
yes.
How many times have we heard that? And listen to this, gentlemen. This is so powerful. Even the best laid plans, listen to me now, even the best laid plans that we make, they can go astray or they can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They can. But see, even if they do go wrong, you can always call on the Lord because he's a what? Ever-present help. In the time
need.
See, we can make mistakes and we can have imperfect plans, but now that we are Christians and we're Christ-like, we know who to call on to help us along the way. Do I have a witness?
Come on. That's now.
Because yes. I know some anybody want to jump in there, they can, but I know for myself there is financial decisions that I made. I didn't consult the Lord. Can I help somebody on tonight? There are relationships that I got in that I didn't consult the Lord with. You know, there was all kinds of decisions that I made, you know, and didn't consult the Lord. And those plans became imperfect. But through Christ, all things are perfect. And I can even think about Romans 8:28. And it says this, and God tells us in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So we love God, and God is going to work everything out for what? For our good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to me. Now, I don't want to seem like this is everything goes well all the time, but there are times when things don't go well for us. But see, the Bible even talks about it. We got to endure this hardship like a good soldier in who? In Jesus Christ. Those things happen. But just know that God has a will and a purpose for our lives. And I can even think of Psalms 37 and 23. And it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in the ways. Gentlemen, everybody that's on this call, God is ordering your steps. All you have to do is have faith and walk those steps out. And ask God, you know, from, you know, this day forward, ask him what your plans are for your life. You know, I'm looking at Pastor Glenn because I know that when we start up, look, I ain't have no desire to be no preacher. Mm-hmm. I was refreshing because I read somewhere that, you know, when you're giving the word, you got blood on your hands. And when you're going to give instructions, you got to give it truthfully and you got to give it willfully. And it's got to be done right because you can't count. So. Yeah. Weighed heavy on me. So I'm just being transparent. I'm being real on tonight. Guys, the only thing I could tell you on tonight is that we got to let our will and our plans be the will that God has for our lives. And we have to do that. And I'm going to go on because I want to, because I'm a leader. I have some questions to lead in that I want y'all to lead in with it. I know that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart and actually have you give feedback from what we're talking about on tonight.
But I got a question, Jock.
Go ahead.
From just taking in that Jeremiah 29:11, mm-hmm. in the natural, it seems like plans, especially our plans, are counterproductive to God's purpose.
Right.
Because when you asked about all the, when you was talking about all the things that you planned that didn't go, I was trying to recollect. I can't think of a whole lot that I planned that went the way that I wanted it to go. I really can't. I can't think of maybe one or two things out of thousands that I planned. So I just think some in the natural, it seems like plans are counterproductive to what God's purpose is for our life.
That is so. Anybody else?
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Well, I had you mentioned the word desire earlier, and I think about the desires of our heart, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, is it safe to say that, as well as the evil desires that you have too, that Satan put those in front of you, because it says God knows desires of our heart, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Satan knows the desires of our hearts too.
Yeah.
And, you know what?
And put those in front of us.
I think what Satan does, not that he knows the desire of your heart, he entices you with your experience because you show him what you want. You say it out loud, you work toward it. So he puts things and situations in your life to entice you toward it. Him actually knowing your heart, I don't think it's for him to have, because the Bible also says out of the heart flows the issues of life. When you're looking at things, your desire and those things are wrapped up in the issues of life that you have. So when it tells you that God knows your heart, he says he judges the heart of the man. Then he tells us the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can trust it?
Right, correct.
Judge it, you have to make sure that you are of God, and you can't judge it. He is the only one that can rightly judge the heart. And so when we talk about desires, Satan can only entice you with what he knows you like because of the experience that he has saw in your life.
Yeah.
The Bible said that when he tempted Job, God said, as I consider my servant Job. And he told, what the conversation was, and he told God, he didn't, this is what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know Job's heart would stay faithful. He thought because of the condition of the circumstances would change his heart. He couldn't judge the heart. If he'd judge the heart, he would have never failed for the trap.
Right, correct. You know what, Brother Glenn, your truth, we got to remember this too, that the adversary can only, it seems like he can only deal with us in the past. See, he can't deal with us in the future. See, things from our past. And so like Pastor Glenn was talking about, he will entice us into those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we gotta be strong enough, you know, and we know that we have our desires, but I know y'all heard me say it so many times before, the spirit is willing, but what? The flesh.
Yeah.
But the adversary, he can't deal with us in the future. He cannot touch that. Because God has that, because we even talked about that. You know, God has those purpose and wills for our lives for the future. He can only deal with us in things from the past. When we think about those things in our mind and our flesh comes up, like Pastor Glenn said, the adversary can entice us.
Mm-hmm. And he only brings up things from your past. He doesn't say what if. The devil never uses a what if. He ain't concerned with it. That dude is always trying to bring up something from your past. He makes sure that it's something he can deal with. And what he entices you with is what you already have.
That's right. Correct.
If you look at the conversation with him and Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, when he tells him to bow down and he starts speaking the word to him, he's giving everything he tells Jesus to have, Jesus already has the authority of.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same with us. What he is enticing us with, we already got the authority of. If whatever we call it to be, because we are made in the image of God, it has the ability to be if we speak in faith, not wavering.
Right.
If you speak in faith, not wavering, you can say unto this mountain, be thou cast in the sea, and it will, but no wise, but a baby. So when Satan comes, he ain't coming to entice you with what you see out in the distance. He's right. trying to blur what you got out in the distance by using what you, if he can make you look back, he'll cause you to stumble and fall.
Right, correct.
Mm-hmm. Apprentice, 1 Kings 8:39 says that only God knows a human man's heart. Correct. 1 Kings 8:39.
Good one. It's a good one. Thanks, Jerome. Good one.
Go ahead now.
Hey, George.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
On that that Jeremiah 29:11, you right. know, I'm sitting here when you was reading that, and I've been I gave my life to the Lord in October of '79, man. But I have never presented this scripture before God and asked Him to guide me to walk the thoughts that He has for me.
That's good.
I've never done that. If I want to be more Christ-like, then I have to take this truth and present it to Him before Him and ask the Holy Spirit to lead me in the way that God is thinking about me and thinking about my future. And I'm being honest, man. I never ever prayed that. I recognize there was so much of Charles in the way that, and I thought I had it under control and I didn't, then I never went to my source to ask Him what my future was. George, and I was like you, I joined the military, man. I joined, go to Vietnam, fight, do the drugs and chase the women.
Right.
That's why I joined.
Understood.
Thank God I never did make it. I mean, but that was my plan. But here, man, this is helping me a lot here. Because he said, when you said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He already got my future plan, and I'm so full of self that I've ignored the roadmap that He's already laid out for me.
And you know what? I want to say something to that while you're talking about the child. We were predestined.
Yeah.
Conceived in our mother's womb, God knew that we would be right on this call tonight. He saw it before we even saw it. You know, and you're right about that. So with that, I mean, even when I was going through and I was making all these plans, but then when I said, Lord, I need you to help me because this is not working. This is not working for me. But I think about when I was now I can see even I was predestined before I was even conceived in my mother's womb to be right here talking about. And it's not an accident, y'all. That we're on this every step of the way. And now we're in the middle, we had a pandemic, but look at what God does, even in the pandemic.
Right.
The plans that He had that we would be right where we are today. Mm-hmm. You know, Charles, this scripture, Jeremiah 29, hit me too, hit my heart real. Yeah. Because here's a God that loves me enough that tells me that He has plans for me.
Mm-hmm.
And He has plans that He won't harm me. Now, man will try to harm you and hurt you, but God won't. But now then He turns around and says, I'm going to give you a hope.
Yes. And
now you have a future. You got a future, and it's in God's hands. See, because if they're making any plans, they got to turn their plans and, yeah, they can have their plans, but let God lead them and direct them.
Yes. Amen.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but go right ahead.
That's good, man. Now, that right there is a truth. Mm-hmm. A truth right there. Jeremiah 29:11. Mm-hmm. If I can latch on to that 29:11 in that truth, that will change where I'm at today.
Let me drop this on you and everybody else listening. But look at Psalms 37:20-23.
Steps of a good man.
Good man are ordered by the Lord. And He what? He delighteth in your ways. things are not like his ways, but God can help us, you know, the step of the way to get to the way he wants us, the path in which he wants us to go. Our steps are already ordered. All we got to do is have faith and walk them out.
Yeah.
Keep looking at that, though, but look where that 37:23 goes. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way.
Uh-huh.
And though he fall, he shall no wise be cast off, because the Lord uphold him with his hand.
There you go. Right.
Every time you take a step and you turn the wrong way, God shifts you back by his hand.
That's right. Amen.
He's the one that puts you back on the right path. He's the one that reorders your step. And then right. David says, order my steps in your word.
Right.
The word that I might not sin against you. And it's like right. Charles is saying, when you look back at Jeremiah 1:5, he tells Jeremiah, before I formed you.
Right. Yeah.
You were conceived by your father and your mom together. Before I formed you, I knew you.
I knew you.
That word knew means that's intimacy.
Yeah,
right. I was intimate
with you before your mom and daddy thought about getting together. I was already telling your spirit about your future. I was already putting it in place. Then jumping to 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord.
Right.
Thoughts of good and evil thoughts to prosper you and bring you to an expected end, to give you a hope and a future. I mean, that intimacy before you were formed was right there. And then when you get here, I'm going to order your steps, and when you fall, I'm still going to take care.
Amen. Amen.
But Glenn, isn't it a caveat to 29:11?
Mm-hmm.
Caveat that? Is, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, the caveat is 13, though.
Come right. on. Yes.
Caveat to 29:11 is 13.
Yes, sir.
Right.
It says, you will seek me and find me when find you me. Seek me with there all you your go. Heart. So God don't order our steps until we give him all our heart.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure I captured it.
No, you good. No. I appreciate it.
Look at that, though.
So if I give him all my heart, if I give him all my heart and he ordered my footsteps, it's okay for me to walk around with the Lord on my sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for me to praise him everywhere I go.
Come on.
It's okay for me to walk and talk Jesus every day. that way. Because he did say that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And wonderfully made. Okay.
All right now.
There's so many things that the Lord tells us that we are, and we have a hard time believing it. My life before I got saved was so rough and rugged that it's easy for me to believe the Lord and try my best to be what he said that I am.
Mm-hmm.
That I am a king, that I am a ruler, that he give me this power. His grace and mercy is sufficient. All the things that he say I am, I consider myself to be. Now, I'm not perfect. I don't walk around every day saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But I love the Lord enough to where I studied 29:11. And he told me he know the thoughts that he thinks towards me personally. That blew my mind.
That's right.
That blew my mind. And then he said, he thoughts of peace and not of evil.
Yes.
What got me the most was to give me an expected end. He knew my end. God knows my end. So as long as I trust and love him and give him all my heart, he ordered my footsteps. He makes me love my family right. He makes me love my friends right. He makes me treat people right. And the walk, I heard Brother George said he wanted to go to UCLA. I wanted to be a lawyer. I didn't get close to it. Now, in the military, I did a lot of things. Went to college, but I didn't get close to being a lawyer. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let somebody else speak. Brother Bruce, remember Deacon Boyd? We was all studying, and he said, man, you're going to be a preacher one day. I said, man, I don't know nothing about no preacher. Lo and behold, that's not what the Lord had. He had his hand on me, and he didn't let go. And I was so happy. I'm so glad. And like you were saying, Todd, about the anniversary, I'm happy for that coming up. Man, I love the Lord so much, day in and day out, even in my sleep, that for him to know who I am.
Amen.
and acknowledge me.
Yeah.
My greatest joy.
You know, it's the Bible says something that messes me up right now thinking about this scripture.
Uh-huh.
But we keep saying God knows his thoughts. But even he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, so much of my ways higher than your ways. God's thoughts are so much more higher than mine. Could you imagine how much deeper he thinks about me than I do? I can think of myself as something, but what God sees is so much more than I can even imagine about myself. I can't even comprehend it.
Amen.
Jeez.
It's so far. It's so far.
Go ahead, George. From what you just said, Glenn, how we are on God's mind and the thoughts that he has for us. So if he has those kind of thoughts toward us individually, that means we, as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, has a part of his. It says before there was a foundation, God knew us.
Right. Yeah, correct.
And right. He knew us in such a way
right.
that he gave us, you got your own unique DNA.
Right.
Nobody that DNA with you. You got your own design on your fingertip right there. You're the only one that has that. Now, you know you have to be special, but how in the world can we allow the enemy to say we are minority?
Amen.
Huh? I got one thing, but one thing in the world like mine, one DNA like mine. How in the world can I be a minority?
You notice?
I said, God, ain't but one Charles, ain't but one George.
That's right.
One Jonathan, one. Then out of that one, he says, what? I know what? The thoughts that I think toward Jonathan, God.
Make it personal. Make it personal.
Okay. I'm done.
let me ask this. And I heard, I hear what's being said, and believe me, I'm there. I'm just throwing this out there. And Jerome read the scripture when we seek him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if God has the plans and we know the plans, how is it so hard sometimes to seek him? Now, Mr. Charles just laid out how unique we are, right? Mm-hmm. And how different we are. And we're talking about how God knows our thoughts and our plans, then why is it still so hard at times to seek him in accordance with the scripture, to seek him and do the right things that we need to do as men of this group or men in general? Or if I'm looking at Jonathan here, that came along, what got you to the point of seeking? Because at some point, I guess at some point we all had to start seeking, right?
Yeah. So, Prince, I'm gonna answer it twofold for me. Number one, you know, we got to think about how Satan has all his little bad boys out there around us everywhere we go, you right. know, and the distractions of the world, which we all live in this sinful world. So it's a lot of distraction when you ask how hard it is to seek him. But then on the religious side of it is sometimes, man, we just, when you say how hard it is to seek him, somebody got to plant that seed mm-hmm. for us to get started. Somebody, right. God's going to, even though we have all these little demons all around us and Satan's little buddies all around us, for me, people was always planting that seed. You know, God was always putting somebody that knew the Lord in my path. All my life, you know, but I avoided them, you know. I won't lie, I avoided them. But I just believe that when he talks about Jeremiah 11 and knowing the plans for you, he also prepares the way for you to get there.
Right, correct.
True.
Mm-hmm. I just believe that he is not gonna know me like Charles is saying and have a plan for me without preparing the way, because he knows how hard the way is to get to him. And I'm sure some of y'all can probably put scripture to what I'm saying, but I'm just talking about how my life evolved. I didn't do this on my own. I didn't get here on my own. There was people that I worked with for 29 years at BC Summer that God that was praying for me and that was talking to me about the word, that was watching my steps and putting a good word on me all the time. Right. And I still avoided them. So God was making preparation for me to be at this point in time. In my life. I really believe that.
You know, he said, I place before you death and life. Choose life.
Choose life, right.
Choose life. He lets us know you're going to go through some things. And if you go back to Romans 8 and 28, that was spoken earlier.
Mm-hmm.
All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
And then, Prentice, you asked a question saying, you know, if we are called, first we got to acknowledge God, as Jerome said. Nothing's going to change until we say, okay, God, it's your turn.
Yep, correct.
Because you think about it. You don't try it your way, and your way keeps failing. Right. And then when you get into it enough and say, okay, God, it's your turn. And we acknowledge him, and we begin to seek him.
Yeah.
First thing going to happen is all hell going to break loose.
Correct.
All hell going to break loose. Amen. Because the devil's trying to get you to see, if you go down that road, I'm going to make it hard as hell. Right. Point blank, period. But once you get through that and start seeking God without the distractions, in spite of the distractions, then he starts opening up his understanding to you. That's when the Holy Spirit starts to speak. That's when life begins to line up. Does it get easier? It does.
Mm.
However, you're going to go on a journey. It's not going to be, the devil ain't giving up without a fight.
Right.
Hey, Glenn, can I add just one little piece to what Glenn is saying? I would like to add just one little piece.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When I first started to give my life to Christ, it didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gave my life to Christ and then I stepped back.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't start to work for me until I was able to understand that I got to commit all the way. I got to go all the way or nothing. I got to do this thing solely. I can't play with it. I can't be lukewarm with it. I played with it for a long time before I really understood that he's not going to hear me until he said, hey, come all the way or nothing. God is all or nothing. He's not halfway through the, you know, on the side of the fence. He just don't want that.
Right.
So I was there. I'm talking about me now. I can't speak for nobody else. I was had for a long time until I started getting really into my study and understanding that he wants all of us. He wants all of me. And then it gets a little easier. It does get a little easier when you commit with all your heart. So the scripture started opening up to you then, and then you start getting understanding once you commit solely to him.
Right.
I know. I know it could be it was a couple of things that made me seek God. I know it was probably some unspoken prayers, some people praying for me I didn't know about. But then it was also my failures, my setbacks, and stuff like that. So sometimes I'd be like, well, thank you, devil, because you're pushing me closer to God. You're pushing me to seek him.
Right.
So for me, it was just like my failures, setbacks, and mistakes. It made me look at my life, you know, and I'm still growing to this day. So
you have to remember, the heart don't lie. When it hurts, it hurts.
Amen.
Stop. Well, that's why the issues flows out of life. It tells the truth. So the Lord knows your heart. And if it's true to him, it's true to him. If it's not, he knows it. And like Jerome said, you can't be halfway because he know. But the heart always tells the truth. Always.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking too, I was listening to Glenn and when I became and I gave my life and he's right, all hell break loose. Even in the ministry, man, I had to deal with it, did not like it. Difficult because I'm young in the ministry and deal with that. I had to pray, oh God, I need for you to help me because there was time, you know, and being from where I am, man, I had to control my tongue because I wanted to say some stuff. And then, you know, you in the church and these people in the church, where's the love and compassion? You know, and me being, you know, and that's why I had to you know, I had to get them scriptures in my, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're more than a conqueror. Then I had to deal with fear. You know, God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and sound mind. And that came from reading and studying. That's what helped me to kind of deflect some of that stuff. And man, it was really hard, man. It was not easy. And then even was some time, and when it got so bad that I was going to write my resignation to the pastor and tell him, I can't do this, you know. But I'm quickly to tell you tonight that if God be for you, it's more than a whole world against you.
Amen.
You're going to face opposition. You know, if these things don't come easy. But because you have Christ, you know, it's so powerful that when you know that you know that you know, and being a Christian and being, you know, in the ministry, I'm just going to tell you, you can't sugarcoat. You got to be real with people.
Right.
You are real with trouble. You know, y'all know, you know, heard this before. We heard of people say it before you. You know, you in trouble, just got out of trouble, or trouble on the way. But I'm here to tell you, trouble don't last always.
It
don't
last. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I'd like to share this with you guys. I'm looking at Jeremiah 29:11 again.
Amen. Amen.
I shared with you guys that in October of 79, I gave my life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And in at December, I wanted to hang with my friends again, and they were drinking and doing some of the things that we were normally doing. And I felt so alone by myself at that time. So I drifted back into the world again. And I remember going to church, setting up in church. I had been out all night drinking. Sitting in church, scared, I was afraid to breathe because I felt like somebody would smell all this alcohol on me. But now look at what God says is. He says, now I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, give me in February 1987. And that's when I stopped the drinking, the drugs and all that stuff. And here it is, his expected end. Look at tonight.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
April you go. The 26th, 2021. God has me with a group.
Come on, Holy Spirit. It's all good.
A group of believers.
There you go.
Glorifying and magnifying his name and learning the truth about who he is and what he has planned for us. Now, that 29:11, I'm living it out at this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that I've done, nothing I could have done.
Right.
But it was all the truth he had and expected in. He knew that tonight we would be giving him glory.
That's right.
Come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
There you go. Amen.
Real quick, I think this might help somebody. And then when Jerome shared 13, it kind of opened it up for me. Mm-hmm. When I got saved in 03, I was with a group of brothers mentoring me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys, 29:11 was his thing. That was his baby. He loved it. He loved it. And so we spent a lot of time talking about it. And it wasn't anything he'd done, but because we talked about it so much, I formed in my mind that the seeking was first, but now that I might be missing it now, but the way was already prepared. And so once I sought, then it comes together. Mm-hmm. And so for so long though, I struggled with trying to find the seeking. I'm trying to seek and then I'm trying to find the way. Well, the way was already, he's gonna make a way.
Already.
I just gotta seek him. Like I'm talking about, I struggled with that for six or seven years, trying to put those things together, trying to tie it together, not knowing that He's prepared the way.
Right.
I just got to submit and seek him. And then it all comes together. And then I start to understand what the glory of this walk and this journey really is. And now the struggles are, I look at the struggles different because I know the way that he prepared the way and the expected end.
Yeah.
The expected end, which is really critical when you're struggling trying to get your footing in this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen. I see something in my mind's eye. It's just going right now. It's showing me something. Mm-hmm. God is telling me right now, he said, it's like being on a road that you're going down that you've never been on before. And mm-hmm. you're going down that road, and the road is a long road, but then off in the corner of your eye, you see something that looks like a shortcut.
Mm.
And then you turn off on that shortcut, or you say you're walking in the woods, and you're walking down this road, and it's going on a path, and you see something that looks like a shortcut, so you decide to take the shortcut because your mind says it's a shortcut.
Right.
And that shortcut, you start going down, twist and turn. You run into dead ends, you got to back up or turn around and go back a different direction. You get stuck by a briar and sticker bushes. There may be obstacles that you got to climb over or go under and around. And your mind told you to go down there because it looked like a shortcut, and it takes you a longer time to get there because your flesh got in the way of the path that was prepared for you.
Right. Right.
Prepared for you looked like it was long, but it was smooth.
Right.
And if you followed the path, you'd have been on your journey already to your destination. However, your mind tricked you into going into a place that looked like it was a better direction.
That's
life. When we're on God's path and we're walking it, because we're now so full of vigor and hunger for the God, we figure I can get to God faster if I go this way. Mm-hmm. But he didn't intend for you to go that way. He intended you to follow the path that was laid out for you.
Right.
What he wants you to do is now you got to follow that same path that got you into that situation back out to the original path that you were on in the first place.
Right.
So you understand that it takes time to get out of something that you got into that your flesh put you into. And like God said, it's hard because you're now in a life of newness. You're seeking God for the righteousness of God and being on his path. But your flesh is saying, hey, man, I don't want to go because the flesh is enemy against God. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, fit me in to God's plan. So you try to figure out how to fit flesh into God's plan.
Yeah,
flesh is in God's plan. Spirit is in God's plan.
Right.
And so if you begin to follow the Spirit will order your steps. And it's like Jerome, until you seek him with your whole heart, you're going to still go through the thick of rock.
Correct.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to say something too. I'm going to tell you, I'm about ready to cry because the relationship that I was in for 10 years and it kind of brought me back to that 29/11, because God didn't let me get hurt. He saw already the path that I was going in that relationship that it was going to be destructive. So what he did, he began to take the scales off my eyes so that I could really see what this relationship was all about. And that's when a verse is penetrating my heart now, because he saw that where I was going was not where he wanted to go, because he knew that was going to harm me. So then when I look back at that scripture again, it's so prevalent to me, because now the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you, not to harm you. He did not want me to get harmed in that relationship, because now I'm not in a relationship, because he has me right where he wants me, because now I'm coming to him for my plans, that he sends me the woman of God that he wants me to have, and I want his will to be my will.
So
now, because of the way I am, I'm so full now, because I could have literally destroyed myself. Mm. But he wasn't going to let me go so far that he put it away. And then I'm going to tell you something. I was riding in the car, man. I know it was on the 16th of January, a year ago. I'm riding in the car. And three times I attempted to call this girl to tell her that it was over, because I had to get my spirit, because my heart was still wanting to be in a relationship. But here it is, on the third time, a peace came over me. And I told her, I'm not the man for you. I'm not the man for you. God bless you. and we need to move on. And then when I did it, she said what she said, it seemed like a peace just came over me. It just, I was, it was like a weight that was on me that just left. Like the spirit of the dormant that was on me, that was holding me down, was left. And guess what, y'all? God had already predained before I even did that, that I got a call from my cousin, him, to preach up in Baltimore that Sunday. And so he had me prepared, had my mind right, that when I went in there on Sunday, that I was able to do the work of the Lord. And he had removed me from that. Man, I'm gonna tell you, this thing is, I hope somebody's out there listening, man, that see, your spirit, your flesh can want what it want.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But flesh is so weak, man.
Come on.
I was weak. I was under, it was like a demonic spirit, man, because I was more concerned. Now, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna be real with you. I wasn't praying like I was supposed to be. I wasn't reading my word. I wasn't doing none of it, but God still opened the door for me to preach. He still allowed me to preach, even in what I was going through and what I was dealing with. This thing is so powerful on tonight that my soul, I'm so full because I'm thanking God for what He done for me. It's no way, and now I'm here to talk about it and be able to share a message with you about His plans. And we just got to let His will be our will. Man, I can't. I'm so full right now, I'm about ready to burst. I'm just thanking Him that I didn't, and everything that I was doing to myself, man, was self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm. My God.
God saw fit for me to be here on tonight to be able to share this.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
There's a couple things, George. You said that earlier when you was talking, you was talking about you had the scriptures in you. And you was able to rattle the scriptures off one just right. Like that when something right. Was happening to you.
Right.
And then when you got in a situation, you stopped with the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You stopped praying.
Right.
Every day. And now you was in a space where Satan was using whatever was going on right. In your life at that right. particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we didn't have the armor.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have God's word embedded in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the prayers embedded mm-hmm. in our heart that we was praying. I think sometimes that's what. Oh, excuse me. I got to do a Jerome thing. I can only speak for Prentice.
Right. Correct. Amen.
That when I'm not praying,
mm-hmm.
when I don't have God's word embedded in my heart, that it flows in my tongue. Freedom,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't fight the enemy. If it took Jesus Christ to use the word
Amen.
To fight off Satan, what makes us think that we can do any better?
Right, correct.
Right. Amen. The word
embedded in us
without
prayer. And someone said, we probably said a many times, and believe in it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, it's another thing to say we know God has the plan. Mm-hmm. Do you believe the plan?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's it, friends.
Do you believe the path that is laid out for you?
Mm-hmm.
But like Glenn said, oh, we're always looking for the shortcut.
There you go.
My God.
You know, so it's believing those plans, but at the same time, and if you don't take your fuel, which is God's word and prayer, you will run out of gas.
There you go.
Oh.
Yes. Quickly.
The enemy is waiting on you.
Amen.
Is waiting on you.
Jesus.
Do you think sometimes that we get afraid of the sanctification process?
Definitely.
Yeah.
God separates us from everything and everybody. It's okay, focus on me. But we're afraid of that because we don't want to line up because our flesh is beating us up.
Right, correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that desire to quit, that's in every last one of us. All of us say, you know what? Matter of fact, we talk about Jeremiah. Jeremiah told God, you don't lie to me, God.
Right.
You deceived me, you tricked me.
Amen.
And because you tricked me, I ain't saying nothing else you want me to say to these people. I quit. Right. He said, but it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. I can't keep myself. I can't keep my peace. If you want to know scripture, that's Jeremiah 20, 1 through 9, I think it is.
Right.
He says it himself. Like, look, I wanted to quit. I didn't want to do this thing right here. This is, he even tells God, you deceived me.
Amen.
He was in the midst of the sanctification process. He was separated from everybody and everything by God. This dude couldn't even mourn the death of his wife. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Same dude say, I quit.
Right.
I don't know about you, George. I done quit a whole bunch of times. You talk about writing a letter of resignation. I ain't going back. And look at me now.
I'm too. I gotta go out of town. I see when I get back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. A little white lie, right?
So I think this is a good opportunity for me to ask one of you guys to do this. I won't do it, but I'll let one of you guys do this. You know, we're live. So Glenn or George, summarize to a person that may be struggling with what we're talking about tonight. There's a lot of people struggling at the beginning to understand how to walk in this walk for God.
Yeah.
So can one of you guys explain that and summarize that for them, how to keep it going, how not to give up, and how to stay faithful to the walk? And it may be somebody in their 20s. I just feel it. It may be somebody in 20, because that's when it happened to me, but I didn't have you guys. I didn't have a supporting cast. So when you're young, it's easy by peer pressure to go back. To what you know, to what you're used to.
Your lesson, so I defer to you.
Okay, so you know, with somebody that out there might be listening, I just had to really literally just, because all those things that, and you need to get in, if for somebody that's young and starting out, they need to get in a good Bible study group where they can get into the word, where they can understand and the word can be broken down to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you got to give them scripture and you got to break it down the layman terms and explain it to them. Sometimes you might have to use parables to them to help them out, to know that these are some of the things. You can't give them you got to give them the raw version of it. You got to really sit them down, give them scripture, make sure they get in a good Bible study group. They can call, get in contact with somebody on this call and get with a man, a God that can help them and teach them, you know, because just like Jerome said, he didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So that person, and pray about it and pray to God and ask God to put somebody in their path that will help them with that, because that's going to help them. That's what helped me, because I got with a mentor that really took an interest in me and really set me down. And really showed me, broke it down to explain to me, and then told me how to actually live and be right. And he didn't sugarcoat it for me. That you're gonna deal with lust. You're gonna deal with gossip and backbiting and all those types of things that's gonna come up in your spirit. But you got to get in a good study group, a men's group, or get under a good leader or somebody that's helped you that knows word is going to help you through life. And be real with them. You know, don't sugarcoat anything with them. Brother Glenn, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, and that also, what George said, you got to understand too that when things don't work out the way you think they do or think they should, then go back and seek God for what his plan really was for you.
Right.
Somebody that can help you to understand. You might have been given a thought, and you think that's the way you're supposed to go, when in actuality, you're supposed to be in something else. And I believe that a lot of times people get off kilter because things didn't work out the way that they thought they should. That a marriage ended, and you were trying to figure out why the marriage ended, or a relationship, or a job, a door closed. But the scripture is very plain. Where one door closes, another opens.
Yeah.
Sometimes God has to take you through that failure to show you what success looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And like myself, I mean, we all talked about it. We all talked about being pro athlete. And you know, I'm 5'7", but I can jump out the gym. So I didn't see any hindrances. However, that's not God's plan for me. Right. I got a lot of education. I drive a truck. That's not that wasn't my plan, but that was God's plan for me.
Right, correct.
And nowhere in the world would I thought I'd have ever been somebody's preacher, but that was God's plan for me. So don't get discouraged because things don't turn out the way that you think they should. Make sure that you know when they don't. Ask God to show you why and to order your steps to get where you need to go. And
well, let me tell you what happened, Glenn. Maybe it doesn't help you to explain a little better what happened to me. I don't know if it happened to anybody else. But when I first gave my life to Christ, and I hate to even tell you how long ago this been, I was actually lost. And what I mean by that is, when I did it, when I got baptized, I come up out the water, and on my way back home, I said, okay, now what do I do now?
Right.
Okay. I was literally asking myself, what do I do? What is my next move?
Mm-hmm.
So I was so lost. I didn't have any friends that knew about God, so I couldn't talk to them. So now my next question was, what do I do? Well, as weeks and months go by, you the loneliness takes over you. Yeah. And next thing you know, you end up back doing what you do.
Right back where
Right. Yeah. About patting you on the back, telling you you got it, you done made it, and you lost. You don't understand nothing. Mm-hmm. When I first got saved, I went 15 years before I met my wife. That's 15 years without touching a woman. That's only God. I was lonely. I ain't had nobody else. I used to study like every day for about 6 months before I even came outside to meet anybody. But I know the loneliness you're talking about. And the only help you can seek is God.
That's right.
Because a lot of folks can't understand what you're going through.
Right.
So they can't help you. The one that saved you is the one that's going to lead you to your help. And you have to ask, Lord, help me. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. You have to humble yourself. And I know a lot of folks think that's simple. But it's hard when you just came out of the world and the day you saved. And you don't know what to do or where to go, but you have to let it's like going to boot camp. They take all that worldly stuff out of you and put military in you. Well, the Holy Ghost take all that worldly stuff out of you and put holiness in you, and you have to go about the route like Pastor Glenn said. You have to stay on that straight and narrow, and you'll find your way because Jesus is on that narrow road, and He's the only one can help you. Everybody else going to pat you on the back and tell you what they think you should do and how they think you should go about doing this. But you have to always know that it's all about God and His way only. And for the young people, you know, what they're going through today with all that peer pressure, I just want to tell them you can make it. Like I said, I went 15 years without touching a woman. And I consider myself a great lover till I met Jesus Christ. And He's the greatest lover of all. And I just want to tell the young folk hanging there, Brother Jerome, it's great that you brought that up because we know they're struggling out there. And we need to let them know that they can make it if they just hold on to the Lord. Don't hold on to me because I might let you go. But just hold on to Jesus, and he'll keep you on the straight and narrow.
Hey, look, I want to say this because this dropped in my holy spirit. This is so powerful, too, because... I was like that because I was a young Christian. So, but what I did, I got to a group. But see, here's the thing that's so powerful. Anybody that is in your life that's holy. See, I had somebody that hold me accountable, that a friend that held me accountable and was a true friend and would tell me, oh, bro, that's wrong. That's wrong with you doing. Because see, as men, if I was in pawn shop and armed, so does another man shop and another man, correct? So then you get held accountable.
That's
see,
right.
Once you get somebody like that in your life, that God put in your life, because right. You know, hey, y'all know when we was coming up, even when we was coming up, when we was out there in the world, but now in the court, you got somebody that holds you accountable, that helps you through that process. You know, right. That long go and they say, yeah, okay, am I my brother's keeper? In this case, as Christians, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. I want to take the other end of that. When I got saved in 03, I was 32 years old, so not really super young, but not in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it was opposite for me. I had like a lot of, I had a lot of guys like there for me to walk me through the process.
Right, right.
I can admit that I wasn't all in, which is which is very important, because if you don't buy in to what they're pouring, then it's the equivalent to not having them.
Right, correct.
It was almost any mini mighty mo. I love my mentor, so when he called, I received. Some of the other guys, if they call, if I wasn't in the best mood, I didn't. I'm like, I listened, but I didn't receive. My mentor called, I received. Other guys, so without, I had it, but I wasn't all into what God was using those guys to get to me. So I missed half the things God wanted me to have at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Right, correct. Mm-hmm.
For me, when I first came into this walk, and just being a little bit younger, I think one of the things that kind of hindered me, because I was a lot like Jerome, I was halfway in, and you know, I backslide and everything. It was just the thought of you had to be perfect in this walk, and I knew I wasn't perfect, and I couldn't be perfect, right? So that caused me to backslide a lot.
Gotcha. Right.
Right.
Understood. Understood.
Amen.
You know, too. That's a powerful thing. You know, we get caught up and we look at the backsliding, the things that we've done. But the sin ain't in the fall. The sin is staying down.
Right, correct.
Man. So.
That's the sin. We all gonna fall. That's why he said, I know you're gonna fall. That's the whole purpose of Romans 8:28. But if you look at it, he says the scripture, he said, a righteous man falleth 7 times, but he gets up again. Yeah, he's gonna fall 8. The whole thing is he gets up again.
Right.
And that's what we've got. That's what we all have done. We've gotten up again. We may have fell short today, but then we got here and got up again. We might fall up tomorrow, but we got to get up. And then we got to constantly keep getting up. That's one thing I think that young people need to understand too, that you're not going to get it right. Not all the time. That you are going to make mistakes, that you are going to fail. But that does not mean that you have failed God. You might disappoint him in some of the things that we do. However, you didn't fail. Because the reason that I know he didn't fail him, that Jesus said that when he prayed to God, he said, all these you have given me and I have lost none. When you come to the knowledge of Christ, I've lost none but the son of perdition that the scripture may be fulfilled. The only one he lost was Judas. And even Judas had the opportunity of repentance.
Right. Yes. He served. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, if you take that opportunity to say, God, I'm sorry. I don't care how bad you messed up. The world may try to hold it against you, but God has already forgotten.
Amen. Let's see your forgiveness.
When we sin, that ain't the last of the story. That is not the end of the story when we sin. The end of the story is when you have that a hope and a glory unexpected. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the story. When you sit at the foot of Jesus and he's wiping the tears from your eyes, as Revelation said, and teaching you all things. That's the end of the story. When you sit there and say, God, I thank you for loving me past my stupidity and my ability not to see what you saw. That's the end of the story. You're never going to disappoint God by doing all you can to be all you can.
Right.
But Glenn, how many times has a seasoned Christian talking to a new babe in Christ and coming across like they're perfect?
Absolutely. Because, you know, some of us cannot, the Bible even said we're so heavily bound with no earthly good.
Correct.
We look at somebody and we want to puff ourselves up.
Right.
So high that we don't make mistakes. But what does he say about that? He said, a man that exalts himself shall be abased. That means if you keep puffing yourself up, you're going to fall.
That's right.
Because you don't have the ability to put the weight of what you think you are on a pedestal, and that pedestal can hold you. The only place you don't fall out of is God's hand.
Because it's right.
No man can pluck out. So as long as you give it to God, he is always going to pick you up. That's what he
Glenn, you said,
some of us seasoned Christians get new babes in Christ, and we talk about it. We talk about how short they dress is. Baby, don't worry about how short they dress is. You just keep feeding them love.
There you go.
Because with love and kindness have I drawn you, you'll see the skirt start to get more toward the floor.
Right. Amen.
Don't worry about them being drunk. Eventually, they're going to show up sober.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Stop trying to clean them before you got them.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Right. Catch me clean.
Right. Them.
Because we was dirt, he came in here.
Come on now.
One of the
ask Jesus, why do you sup with the liars and the thieves and the tax collectors? He said the healthy have no need of physician. I came for the sick.
That's right.
He came for the ones that were messed up, the ones that had that wasn't getting it right. If he was getting it right, it wasn't no need for him to come. You had it. Even the rich young ruler came. He said, "What must I do to get eternal life?" He said, "You know the scriptures. What does it say?" He says, "I've kept them all since my youth." He said, "Okay, you have done all these things, but lack you one thing. Sell all you have and follow me."
There you go.
His flesh would not allow him to sell his worldly.
Right. That's right.
Amen. And so I understand that you got to choose what's good for your flesh or following Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing about following Christ, he said, any man that is a wife, mother, brother, sake of the gospel in this life and the next, all they give up. So the rich girl gave it up. He got it.
Powerful, brother.
Amen, amen. You know, speaking from a male point of view, and when people know that you're in Christ, when somebody would ask, I've had men literally ask me, if I get saved, I got to stop looking at women now, or I can't see them. I say, first of all, women are beautiful creatures that God have made, and we go see them every day. I see the same round booties that you see. I see the same lifted up breasts that you see every day. The difference is I don't stare at it for 5 seconds or better, because if I do, I know where my mind is going to go at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can't walk around with a blindfold on. I said, yes, you're going to see them women every day. I said, brother, you got to stay focused. But see, I got to tell you what I did. When I first got saved, even when I went to Walmart, brothers, when I went to Walmart, I literally sat in the car and I prayed before I went in there. Because I know all I'm going to see is breasts and thighs, and I ain't talking about the chicken. That's all you're going to see in there.
Amen.
Half dressed. Now, that's what I had to do in the beginning.
Amen.
I got to, I could get to the parking lot and get out and go in there and do what I got to do and come in. But that's one thing that men do. I said, brother, you go see them women out there every day and whatnot. You just got to pray God. It's just like a sculptor with a hammer and a nail just chipping away bits and pieces. You can give your life to Christ today and you still go home and drink a beer and whatnot. You ain't got that out of you yet. Don't worry about that. Don't beat yourself up about that. Right. You go cuss. Don't beat yourself up about that. I didn't stop the first day when I got saved. It takes time. It's a daily process. You chipping away stuff every day, but you got to stay in Christ. It was just like I was a little bit of opposite of what Jerome and but what Brother Todd said. Thank God at the City of Columbia, Elder Price right there and whatnot, and several other mighty men of God. When I got saved, I was with them brothers every day, reading my words, studying, trying to get better each and every day. I did have God. I was blessed to have that. I was blessed to be surrounded, and them brothers was real. They weren't no wishy-washy brothers. And I'm glad I was with them, and that helped me to get stronger. Plus the teaching I was getting in my church. So it's like I was getting a double portion of it. Brother, I got saved in November 2003. But, you know, it was just kind of a dead period right there. I didn't put my hand on the plow till around late February or early March. And that was because this is how God has a way of doing things. I'm a TV person. I like to watch TV. Well, due to a lack of finance, the cable was cut off.
Amen. So,
and my wife told me it was on a Sunday morning because I was going to stay. I was just coming to church. I just going to regular service. I wasn't going to Sunday school. I come in at 11 o'clock, but not 9 o'clock or 10. So she said, baby, what? She said, the cable is off. Why don't you just come to Sunday school? I said, baby, I ain't been to Sunday school since I was a child, since I was a kid. Brother, I went to Sunday school and I ain't missed a beat since. It was the same thing on Wednesday night Bible study. I ain't been to a Wednesday night Bible study since I was a child. And my wife said, once again, baby, because I was getting ready to watch my wife and kids with Damon Wayans and all that that was coming on at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. That's what I was doing and whatnot. She said, baby, you ain't got no cable. Why don't you come to Bible study tonight? Went to Bible study, ain't missed a beat since and whatnot. When I put my hand on the plow, I didn't look back. I don't know what it was, but it's just like what Shirley Stevens said, something had a hope to me. And we know what that was. And once I just couldn't stop. I had to go. I wanted to go. Brothers, I was coming to work every day with a book bag on with 5 different Bibles. I looked like a college student at my job at the city. I had a dictionary. I had King James, NIV, amplifier. I had all of that. I was tearing up book bags and whatnot because of, you know, punching holes in it. And I was just sitting there focused and whatnot. And I just thank God that once I took my hand on the plow, I kept going. I tell him, but it's just like what Price, Elder Price said, once you fall in love with Jesus, I mean, my God, you can't fall in love with nobody else better than that right there. Amen. And I thank God for the brothers that was placed in my life right there at the city of Columbia. I always give them praise. I thank God for putting them there and being around real, genuine brothers like that. And I'm glad they wouldn't wishy-washy, went snipping and dipping, cheating on their wives or smoking and cussing and all of that. These brothers was clean, and I thank God for them. I didn't know Brother Prentice at the time because he was in another district. I met him later on and whatnot. But where I was at, I thank God for them brothers and whatnot. And that's just like what you said earlier, what Brother George was saying, that you have got to, these young brothers, you've got to get with somebody that you know real, that you know that's about no foolishness, and you got to get with them. They will pray for you. And just like you were saying, Brother Mendenhall and whatnot, man, you can't be looking down on these babes in Christ and whatnot. That's where we want the lost to come in, the church. So what if somebody come in drunk and smelling bad? What, you go turn your nose up at them? You want them to come in there like that. You want prostitution to come in off the street. What you think? Look at them. Them sisters got some extra dresses and stuff they can give to her. Them brothers can got some clothes and whatnot. You can't look down on that. Don't forget, we was like that too. I know I was a drunken rascal all out in the driving and carrying on and whatnot, but I know somebody prayed for me somewhere and whatnot, and nobody didn't look down on me like that. At least I don't think they did and whatnot. But I think we got to have patience, that fruit of the spirit, that long suffering with these brothers and new babes in Christ. We got to embrace them, welcome aboard, say, think that's the best decision you ever made to come to the body of Christ. And we got to continue to encourage them. And yeah, yes, there's flaws and everything. We know that, but you don't go gospeling and telling them about the shortcomings. They'll see some of that stuff on their own. But right now, we got to embrace these brothers and let them go, because we need more brothers in Christ. And just like I said, and God looked out for me long before I even got in Christ. And just right quick before I be quiet, I was out at Fort Riley, Kansas. I was stationed out in Kansas, and I was living with a female out there for like 2 years. Now, brothers, and I know people online watching, let's just, there was no protection being used for 2 years with me and her. And I thank God because of that. Now that girl got about like 3 or 4 kids. But the point is, I'm here in South Carolina. She's out there in Kansas. How that's going to look? It's already enough men not in the lives of their children. What's going to look like? I'm here and I got a child almost 800 miles away in the state of Kansas and whatnot. And I thank God that that girl did not become pregnant. And like that, all of my children are here in South Carolina with me in Columbia. Yeah. And I thank God for that, because, and I said, my God, I'm glad that girl did not end up pregnant. Because look, we ain't together. She wanted me to get a tattoo of her name on my chest. My wife named me Tom. Now, how that's going to look every time when I take my shirt off and she see Veronica across my chest and we ain't even together? Come on, man. I mean, come on, now. I ain't got a tattoo on my body and I'm proud to show it. But if you got that, I say that's just me, though, and whatnot. I'm just saying and whatnot, man. So, you know, I think I was wise enough back then, and I was 22 years old and 21, that I didn't do that. But I thank God, my God, God is great. And God is greatly to be praised and whatnot. So thank God, and God bless you. And brothers and brothers in Christ, you young brothers, man, continue to let God order your steps. Continue to let God use you. Keep your head in that Bible. Keep standing that word. Keep going to church when the church doors is open. And just keep praising and blessing God and watch what he do for you, because he got plans for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother George, you got anything else?
No, but it's just I had some questions, but these questions as you think of them, I mean, I'm gonna give them to you, but just think of them when you're by yourself and let God minister. The first question, I just want to give you this question and I'm done. It says, how do you respond when your plans don't work? How do you respond when your plans don't work out? Then the next one is, when your expectations of those plans are not met, what do you do then? And the third question is this: what might God want you to learn through those experiences? The third question, what might God want you to learn through these experiences? Those are just the three questions. Those are three good questions that when you get by yourself, just about those things, okay?
Oh man, that's some great questions. If anybody want to expound on that Tuesday next week when we come back on, I think next Tuesday is the roundtable.
Yeah, what I'll do Todd, I'll send them to you.
Okay.
And then you can push it out to the group so everybody can, everybody will see them.
Yeah, okay? That'll be a good opening for the round table, because I think next Tuesday is the round table, if I'm sure. Don't quote me, but.
Yeah, those are real good questions.
They are, man.
For tonight, I mean, it was really powerful. The Holy Spirit really took over, did what it needed to do. I just thank God for the opportunity to teach on tonight, man. I just thought that it was so anointed tonight. It's just so much that came out of this. I know the people that are listening, their hearts will be blessed by it. They won't be the same on tonight, because this thing was so powerful. So powerful.
Really was.
Yep. Brother Todd, that's...
Man, even soon as everybody started coming on, from soon as Jonathan came on first, the energy and the spirit was super high. Mm-hmm. Super high, man. And man, I'm so grateful. Man, I honestly fight back tears sometimes.
Mm.
I think that just me, my makeup. I'm so grateful for this forum, man. I can't even put it into words, man. But it's that time for them shout outs and takeaways. Brother Josh, give me something so you can go put your foot out there in the sand, man, and look out for them jellyfish.
Man, I'm just thankful for tonight, man. I'm thankful for y'all. I learned so much with you guys. All y'all are my mentors just on this call, and I just appreciate y'all. And I'm just going to pray and let God order my steps. Amen. So that I can make sure I'm on his path constantly and try to take myself out of it as much as possible so that I don't get in the way.
God bless you, brothers. Amen. Amen. Good job. Hey, love you, man. Y'all be careful while y'all down and while y'all traveling back to Brother John.
Yes, sir.
Brother, George, thank you for this word tonight. It was very powerful. This morning, I was very discouraged this morning. And I prayed for strength to make it through those issues. And we talked about all those issues tonight on this call. So one of my prayers was answered through this group tonight.
Amen.
This is why I love this group, and I thank you, and I need it every Tuesday. Like Josh, he at the beach. I don't care if I'm on the moon. I'm going to be on this group call. I don't care where I'm at. And it's funny that we're looking at Jeremiah 29:11. Soon as I opened my Bible, it was already marked, and it said the word hope. Jeremiah 29, that said the word hope. So I knew tonight. I mean, that was tonight was very powerful for me, and I thank you. I thank all y'all. God bless y'all.
Oh, man, thank you, bro. Hey, love you, Johnson. Hey, don't wait.
Thank
I know
you.
Sometimes, you know, we do get away to ourselves and just meditate, but I just want to remind you that we phone call away.
You got
10 other brothers on here. That's a phone call. It might not have been a dire need, but I just want to make sure that everybody, we just a phone call away. I don't care what time it is, personally. I explain to my wife later on if I have to, but it is what it is. Brother Prentice.
Yeah, I appreciate the night. Jeremiah 29, you know, appreciate the questions, the bond with mentors and with brothers. I'm going to have to throw this little caveat in here, and I hope y'all please excuse me, but I'm not going to be sorry for it. Because when we say God has plans for you, I got to shout out to my wife. Let me tell you. When God put that woman in my life.
Jesus, that's all right.
When he said he's going to give you the woman of your heart, he knew what he was doing.
Amen.
That woman has put up with me.
Amen.
That
woman
has took care of me.
Amen.
That woman has protected me. Anytime you come home and you expanding about your work, and she ready to put on her shoes and go down there and handle some business.
That's a rider. That's a rider.
Amen.
You know, that's just the type of woman she is. And my wife is an old school wife. Mm-hmm. Look, I first got married, it took me by surprise. We used to go to cookouts and people's houses. I didn't ask her. She'd get up and go fix my plate and bring it to me. Mm-hmm. Women do that?
Jesus.
I was blessed with that.
Jesus.
Amen.
And so I have to give, God gave me what I needed at that, but and he and
amen.
I had to do that. I ain't trying to hurt nobody, and I ain't sorry for it. But I'm saying, great man, when you talk about the desires of your heart, you know, God gives you what you need. I shared about how I wanted a big family growing up. You know, I love children.
Amen.
God, but he said, well, you ain't going to have none naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give you children.
Amen.
I'm going to give you two. And
right,
he did.
Right, right.
Amen.
Amen.
Good. Man, great job, man. Hey, it's, we supposed to live and honor our spouses.
Amen.
I think that's another topic for later, but you know, as God intends, that's something I don't think that we do enough of,
right.
Especially at the level that we should. But good, right. Great God, brother Robert.
Yeah, I'm gonna read this scripture and I'm gonna let it go. Romans 8:38.
Oh boy, stop playing.
I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, amen, nor things present, nor things to come. 39 said, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, amen, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
And I love you, brothers, man. I thank you for the night. You set my heart on fire. I'm going to say this. I don't know if we still alive, but for the young folks, hang in there. Like we brothers over here for one another. We're here for you, too. So, I mean, you can text us and do whatever you need to do to talk to us. Man. We love you. God bless you. And have a great night.
Amen. That's a great scripture, Brother Robert. Good job. Love you, bro. Brother Charles.
I want to thank God for using Pastor George tonight and to bring that.
God bless you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
And I know that was the Holy Ghost using you, man, to not only to reach men, these men that's on the call, but to reach people in the world with his truth. Mm-hmm. I still can't get out of Jeremiah 29:11. Mm-hmm. And I'm having to look within myself and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit to help me and to guide me into the real truth for this, that I can apply this to my life. Because for so long, I've kind of taken the reign myself. And the reason I'm where I'm at today is because of some of the decisions that I've made. I'm not in a bad place. I'm just saying, I know God has something from Jeremiah 29:11. He has greater things for me at the age that I am now. And I'm so thankful for you guys being on here and just sharing.
Amen.
That's a treasure to have in to open up from within their heart and to expose themselves. And that's part of the true manhood, that you can present the weakness and show your weakness to other people, and most of all, allow God to see that weakness within you. Right. And for so long, I mean, for myself, you know, you walk in that pride. You don't supposed to show no weakness, weakness, man. But that's not true.
Right. Right.
When I have that weakness and when I have that struggle, I'm allowing God to see that I need him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I
make this without him. And like Glenn said earlier, in I think it was Psalms 37, that steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, though he falls, what? He shall not be, what? Let's see, though he fall down, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord be with the right hand. It don't matter where you're at in your Christian walk, he's always there to help you and to guide you. That's who he is. With just giving your life to the Lord, or you've been in for years, we all fall short. But yet God looks at the heart of a man.
Come on now.
Yes, he does.
Yes. Thank you, guys. We love y'all, man.
Love you too, man.
Good job, Brother Charles. Love you too, man. Love you too. Brother Dakota.
Amen. Mighty men of God, love each and every last one of you. Amen. And thank God for you. Amen. An awesome group, an awesome study tonight. Amen. Pastor Jordan, I know I got on a little late, but I was reading the scriptures, man, which you had put out there, man. But that's awesome. The testimonies tonight was awesome and very uplifting. And God bless each and every one of you. Well, let's continue to encourage, like Brother Josh and Brother John, young brothers, right, man. My God, I'm praying for you. God bless you. Lord, may God continue to order your steps. Amen. And just continue to stay in there no matter what. Continue to focus. Continue to push. Continue to let God use you. Amen. And just, my God, just watch what did God have in store for you. He did it for me, and he'll do it for you. Amen. God bless each and every last one of you. Amen. And look forward to seeing you again on next Tuesday. I am on Facebook. I'm Dakota Radden. Please hit me up with a friend request if you so desire and whatnot, because I love social media like that. We can encourage one another through social media. A lot of people speak negative about it, but you can put scriptures, you can put sermons, you can do on social media. I defend social media because of that. I say you can put revivals, church services, you can invite people to church. Use social media to your advantage and whatnot, mighty man of God. God bless you, and I love you.
God, brother. Good job. Love you too. Dirty Bird, you got something?
Yes, sir. First of all, I want to tell the guys who was on Friday night, man, I want to tell you guys, thank you for the fight. But I got on late because I'm, we doing some, kind of get to set for a family reunion on Zoom. But it is this verse, man, it's confirmation on something because, those who don't mean, I mean the moving business. I moved a customer make sure I'm right on my day. Last Tuesday, she had a plaque on her wall. The last plaque I took on her wall and boxed it up was Jeremiah 29:11. I moved a customer from Columbia off of Beltline to Weaverville, North Carolina yesterday. I packed her up Saturday, moved her to Weaverville. The last plaque I took off her wall, man, was Jeremiah 20:11. So they said when Peter denied Jesus three times, I'm like, I got on late, but this is confirmation for me, bro. I'm like Kirk Franklin, bro. It's a brighter day. It's a brighter day, man. I'm like, wait a minute. I got on like 15, 20 minutes later. And then to hear Brother Dakota talking, I'm like, wow. He hit dead on. Because I got a young guy that want to come on. He like, my brother Billy, I'm still drinking. My girl's still wearing the short skirts and stuff. And I'm like, bro, don't worry about that. And man, brother told him this. I mean, hey.
Oh, God.
He gave me confirmation right there, man. I'm like, but the Jeremiah 29:11, bro, I'm like, dude, I'm pumped.
Yes, sir.
I'm pumped. So I just want to tell Brother George, like I said, I missed a good part of it. Like I said, I got on late. I logged on, but I was on the other laptop doing other things, trying to get this family reunion straight. But I caught the part when Brother Dakota got on. I just want to tell Brother Dakota, man, hey, bro, thank you for those words, man.
God bless you. The Holy Spirit, Dirty. The Holy Spirit, God. God bless you. Give God the glory. Amen.
Yes, sir. And Brother Jerome, I personally got to call you out for Friday, bro. I personally got to tell you, bro. You and I think Prenda was on the call Friday night, too. Thank you. You guys gave me, like I said, what I was going through, this depression and stuff, man. Hey, I'm a new guy, bro, because of y'all too, bro. Thank you guys very much.
God be the glory. Amen.
Hey, man, good job. Good job, Dirty Bird, man. That's good. That's good stuff. Brother George.
I just want to thank God. I want to give God the glory on tonight for this word and for this message. And you know, when I first heard it and read it in the Daily Bread, it just touched my heart. It penetrated my heart so much that, you know, it's nothing too hard for God to do for us, man. And I just want to tell you, brothers, I thank y'all so much, man. And how we love on one another, how we're there for one another. And it was just so awesome to put the message out and just watch the Holy Spirit just touch everybody on the night. Yeah. I mean, it's so powerful to see how, you know, you can read a scripture, somebody can get a different meaning, but the Holy Spirit is what does it. The Holy Spirit does everything we needed to do.
Amen.
And to bring forth a message, man. I love y'all. I just want to give God the glory on tonight for everything.
Amen. Good job, brother. Good job, Brother Joe. I love you, man. Brother Jerome. Love you.
Hey, man, all I have, I want to thank you guys for the message tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm a better man because of all of you guys, but I also think we're a better man because of all of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when we click like we click tonight, somebody's going to get a good word.
That's right.
George gave a good message, but what I think was really good is the communication between the group.
Yes.
When we communicate together,
lost
the group, it goes out. It vibrates through the live air, and somebody gonna get a good message, man. It's just too many powerful, men on this group for it not reach somebody.
Amen.
So I just thank you guys because it reached me every Tuesday night. So I thank you guys.
Amen. God bless you. Good brother. Love you, man. It's crazy because I was thinking about what I'm gonna say, and it's piggyback off of what Jerome's saying. I get several guys ask me, do we really know each other? Is it what it looks like? I've had that in the last couple of weeks, probably 5 or 6. And I told him, I said, for real, honestly, me personally, I'm super blessed. Charles, I could throw a baseball and flat Charles tire. Me and Jerome talk 72 times a day. Me and Glenn talk one, like everybody. And then I'm like, but everybody interacts with everybody. And it's genuine. I'll be 50 May 11th. And right. I'm just walking into a place where I found genuine love in men.
Right. Correct.
I share genuine love with men. And it's right. and it's based off the love of Christ. And it's like, it's such a great, great feeling. And when I tell the guy, their mouth drops. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I call the guys, they talk, me and Prentice talked a couple of times last week. Trying to get this podcast, man, and the love that we have for each other, you know what I'm saying? It's just, man, it's so hard, and I don't take it for granted, man. And I know so many people. I've been blessed to know a bunch of people, but I got brothers on here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a select few that if I call, gonna give it to me straight,
right?
And
correct.
And it's gonna be in love. It's gonna be Christ-centered. I can't get that everywhere. I know a lot of people, but it's probably 15 that's gonna say, "Hey, you wrong," and that, man, means the world to me. So, with that saying, man, I love you guys, Brother Glenn. Take me home.
Amen. We got a question. Somebody texted in and they asked. The question was, what is meant by what he said? The wages of sin is death. Why not just sin is death? And so I'm going to answer that question because it was asked through a text. And the reason that the Bible says in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Mm-hmm. He wants to understand that when we find death, that means eternal separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
If that word wages is relevant because it means there's compensation for your actions.
You're right.
Just like you go to work and get a paycheck, you earn a wage.
If you
get a job, then your wage is set. And that's what he's talking about. But the gift of God means something that's freely given without having to work for.
Right.
Eternal life. And so that's the relevance of that scripture.
Amen.
So I wanted, if we had that clear. And as we tell you all, if you text something to us or you put something on that screen, we'll answer your question for you. We're not going to leave you hanging.
Right.
We see it. George, this lesson was absolutely out of this world. It's nothing like God telling you, "I got you," and that's what I heard tonight. I got you. Because we all got struggles. I mean, we all got situations and things we go through where we want to say, I've had enough. But then God said, I know what I'm thinking towards you. And it's greater than anything you can imagine.
Yes.
My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. As for the brothers on here, there is not a greater group. I couldn't get here Friday. I had some things going on. And Friday's a late work day for me. So it's kind of hard for me to get places on Friday. But I tell y'all, man, when Tuesday is nothing like it. I don't care what I'm doing. Unless I'm in that truck. And even then, I'm going to put you on, but I just can't turn on the screen. At least I can listen. I'm going to be here because I got to. It's like Jeremiah said, it's fire for me. It's shut up in my bone. I got to get here. And then these lessons, you know, we put these titles down. I learned just as much from you guys as you guys learned from me. And that is the whole point of iron sharpens iron. Prentice, keep praising. Keep praising your wife, bro. It ain't nothing like it. The Bible said that man to find a wife found a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord.
Amen.
Don't believe it. The Bible even tells you if you mistreat her, God will take you out of here.
That's right.
I'm going to do a teaching on that one night. And it's just so much, man, that we have just, I'd like Todd. I have to fight back tears so many nights. I mean, y'all know I'm a cry baby. I cried the first, how many months, God bless, but it's just to find people that you love genuinely. And it's knowing that if I call these dudes in the middle of the night, somebody can be sleeping, but they're going to wake up and talk to me until I'm in a better place.
Amen.
And that's what I love about each and every one of y'all, man. And I'm always here. My phone is always on. Your guys can always get a hold of me. And we're going to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
That being said, everybody ready? We're going to go ahead and give God the last word. And we're going to go ahead and start on that. Father God, is in the name of Jesus, Lord, we always give you all glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we thank you right now for everything you've done, God, through your word tonight. You told us in your word, God, that you know the thought that you think toward us, thoughts of good and not evil, thoughts to prosper us and bring us to an expected end. And God, that end is full of hope, God, in you, knowing that all things that we go through, God, you perfected it in your time, and that we will come out, God, victorious over every plan of the enemy. Father, we thank you for every man here that is represented tonight. And yes, right now, a special blessing upon each and every family, God, and everyone that is attached to it, listening, God, by way of live, God, or have found this way onto this word, God, onto this call, God, that you bless them and their family. Uphold them in the palm of your hand and let no hurt, harm, or danger come unto them. Father, we thank you for every situation and circumstance that we've gone through that made us stronger in you. God, continue to increase our faith, God, but even more of that, God, let us know that your presence is always with us, God, and that you're vigilant in our life to change every circumstance. You said in your word that you perfect that which concerns us. And God, we thank you that our concerns are no longer ours, God, but we give it over to you. That all things are perfected. We give you all glory and praise. In the master's name of Jesus Christ, I do pray.
Jesus,
in agreement, those in agreement. Say amen.
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 Amen. Love you guys.
Amen. Amen. Love y'all.
Love
you. Amen. Love y'all, man. Everybody.
Dude, Brother Todd, how's our brother Rick doing? How's brother Rick doing?
Hey, he's doing okay, man. He's doing okay. He on Facebook talking trash, so he all right.
Okay.
All right. Amen.
All right.
Y'all be good, man.
All right. Y'all have a good night. God bless
everybody here. God bless.